Hey everyone, my name is Kira Miller. Welcome back to the What's Your Life Journey podcast. Today's guest is my friend Tyler George, who is an entrepreneur and also part of the music group, the George Twins. We can't wait to share his story today. Yeah. So today we are talking with Tyler George.
Hey.
So we are talking today specifically about how you've really come to find your identity as of late, and that you have really discovered your value and your worth also kind of within recent times.
Yeah.
So let's take like a backtrack, I guess, and kind of tell me who you were in the beginning of this journey of trying to figure out who you were and figuring out who your value was. Like, who would you say Tyler George was at that point?
Yeah. I would say, well, growing up, so I have a twin brother.
Okay.
And a lot of, I think, what I realized, how I grew up has a massive effect on who I am. And the family in which I was raised, the school in which I went to.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up with a twin brother and in a pretty large family. And so my role, I guess the role that I kind of fell into is more of the peacemaker role in my family.
Mm.
And so being a twin and my brother being a little bit more assertive than I was, he got more of the attention. It was just that I perceived that he had more of the attention.
Huh, okay.
And I guess in a way, yeah, he got more attention because he just asked more for what he needed.
Right.
I felt like if I asked for what I needed, it would be a burden on other people.
Hmm.
And so I kind of fell into this like, I'll just keep my feelings to myself because I don't want to intrude on, I don't want to create conflict.
Right.
And that was the main thing I wanted to avoid. So to answer your question, the older version of me was basically trying to avoid conflict at all costs.
Hmm, okay. And so you didn't really share much of yourself at that point, too?
No. But it was weird because I was really good at, like, sharing a fake or what I should be or, like, what I should be feeling.
Okay.
Or, like, I was good at communicating what I should be feeling, but I wasn't actually feeling it.
Okay. So it wasn't the feeling that you actually had at the moment?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So it was more like, man, I should feel sad right now, but I don't feel sad.
Huh. But you could communicate that you should, that but should you be, don't actually feel
but I,
sad.
And that's the worst part because it was this like, I felt like,
pretty
so my, I've loved growing up in my family the way that, so my parents, my dad is a pastor of a church.
Mm-hmm.
My mom is amazing, stay-at-home mom. She's mm-hmm. helped raise all the kids. And my dad wrote a book about kind of, in the book, the meta-narrative is my parents' marriage basically falling apart.
Okay.
And it was crazy, the vulnerability that they had with us growing up, because growing up, we saw their struggle.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't hidden from us.
That's amazing.
And they were honest with us about it, and it formed this thing in me like, oh, yeah, like, I can be vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
but it showed me how to be vulnerable. I didn't know if I was there yet.
Okay.
And it created this kind of hyper emotional awareness in me and my brother and my family
mm-hmm.
because we grew up, you know, talking about our feelings
yep.
and analyzing them.
Yeah.
And so that kind of is what brought me into that, like, oh, like I feel like I can describe this well,
mm-hmm.
but I don't feel it. I'm not feeling
Interesting.
It.
Interesting. So you could connect with people like sort of surface level
because
you can know what they were feeling, but you couldn't connect, like you couldn't allow yourself to be seen.
Oh, I could totally, like I could analyze somebody enough to make them feel like $1 million. Meanwhile, not even looking at myself.
Interesting.
But the crazy part is in that I would say the old self, older version of me.
Yeah.
The struggle was trying to find, like, I didn't even know I needed to find me. Like, I didn't even know me as an individual existed.
Right.
It was just like trying to move, like, trying to orchestrate that there's no conflict.
Yeah.
So
looking back, did you see, can you see now that it affected your life in the different areas? And how did that look?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It in everything, I think it's funny because I have this, my brother is like my, he's my, I don't want to say he's like a counter version of me. He's like the reverse Flash of me. In ways where, so in relation, like emotionally, so growing up, we my brother and I would always like tell people Jordan was the emotional risk taker and I was the physical risk taker. So I would do flips and do that kind of stuff, but my heart was like heavily, heavily guarded. And so, Jordan was like, he dove into relationships. So he had a lot more girlfriends than I did. I never dated anyone. I got friend-zoned a lot.
Yeah.
But I never dated anyone until I was like 17,
18. Whoa, okay.
And I'm still dating her now. Yeah. So it's like it was crazy. Like with my brother, he's the opposite of, in a lot of ways, of my personality. So I can see, it was almost like I saw like Jordan had go through heartbreak. And then I was like, I don't want that.
I get that.
So I just totally backed away from it. And that would, I mean, that's how I think that's how I saw that shape in me going, I don't want to feel the pain of heartbreak, but by like trying to avoid it, I actually caused it.
Interesting.
Because I just would, I didn't want to risk my heart in anything. So nobody wanted to like risk their heart for me because I wasn't risking my heart at all.
Yeah.
So now I realize why I was friend-zoned so much.
Yeah.
Not only that, I just was like trying to be friends with like, girls for like 2 years. And I pursued them romantically.
Right.
And they loved the feelings of me pursuing them romantically, but then with none of the commitment of a relationship. So now it was just like, oh man, like I don't know what to do now. Like,
yeah.
I built this amazing friendship. And now she doesn't want to ruin the friendship, but her idea of us being friends is me pursuing her romantically. So that's where things got
interesting.
Crazy.
Yeah. No, that's crazy because I think I'm very similar in the sense that I always learned by observing other people and their mistakes, which is kind of a nice way to learn, honestly, because then you don't experience the heartbreak. But then you also don't jump into things and take risks because you've seen how it's affected other people. And then, like you said, you are actually the one who ends up getting hurt because you hurt yourself.
Yes, totally. Yeah. Totally. And you think you're protecting yourself, but you're literally just like opening up a weak spot. It's sort of in it's almost like by holding up the shield, you like break your arm because you're holding it up for way too long. Like you need some time to rest and show who you are.
When was the first time then that you kind of realized that you were, I mean, kind of, you had a big wall up essentially?
Oh,
what was like maybe the awakening? Or was it more of a series of things that happened?
I would say it's probably a series of things because I feel like there's moments,
yes,
you know,
absolutely.
And I feel like I'm still awakening to
it.
But, I would say, man, you know, my relationship with Jacqueline has been really good because for the first time, like, I felt like somebody saw me apart from my brother.
Yeah.
And also Jacqueline was the reason, like, I had a reason to not be with my brother as often. Because I was with my twin brother for, we would spend all day together, every day.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. And we could do it. And it was like, and it was, there was a comfort there. And now when I started dating Jacqueline, that time started being allocated to a different place. So I actually started to find my identity apart from Jordan.
Yeah.
And so then I realized like relationship will expose a lot. And that's why I totally get like when people are like, marriage is hard. Like it's because you're constantly being exposed.
Yep.
And you can't, like you can't hide or else it just destroys you internally.
Yeah.
And so I think the realization of that wall existing was or the, I guess my awareness of it was when I started dating Jacqueline.
Mm. So it was another person coming
into because it. she was like, oh, someone sees me and someone like loves me.
Yep.
And I remember having a phone call with her, like just like sitting in my car, and I was like, we were talking about like risk. Mm-hmm. Like she was like, man, I don't want to share everything with you because I don't know if it's going to be safe. You mm-hmm. know, like,
yeah,
like that. And that's a risk.
You know? Oh, absolutely.
And I get that. And I was like, she was like, I just don't feel like I want to share this until we're engaged. And mm-hmm. I need you to risk your heart mm-hmm.
yep.
for me. And I realized like I needed to risk my heart for her too.
Yep, absolutely.
And in that moment, it was the first time where she was like, you know what? Yeah. Like I will, here's all of mm-hmm. like the stuff I've gone through, what I'm like. And then I got the honor of holding the weight that she had been carrying for so mm-hmm. long.
Yep.
And by kind of receiving that honor, it exposed a lot in me of like, oh, like this is like, I actually haven't, like I haven't given me my heart
yep.
yet. And so I was really, like I was so consumed with trying to get her heart mm-hmm. that I didn't want, like once I had it, it was like, oh, well now I have to give this to you.
Yeah.
So like I got my goal. Like mm-hmm. I have, you know, I feel like I have her heart.
Right.
Now I have to go, here's mine.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was I would feel like that maybe was the starting point for me, like realizing that the wall exists.
Huh. Was that a lot scarier for you then to share yourself than to take on her burdens?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Uh-huh.
100%.
Yeah.
It's so easy. It's kind of like when you can recognize flaws in other people more than you can yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, and again, I feel like I wasn't even able to share my heart because I didn't know who I was.
Mm, yep. Huh.
Yeah.
So you didn't even know what to share.
Like when you say, oh, tell me, like, it's been cool even being a part of this podcast because mm-hmm. it's a process of
yeah.
me extrapolating and yeah. communicating.
Talking about it.
This
yeah.
is me apart from the George Twins, which is my band, mm-hmm. apart from my twin brother, yep. apart from like my family.
Yep.
And so that like I'm in process and still discovering who I am.
Yeah.
But I feel like I have a better framework
mm-hmm.
for saying, oh, yeah, like, this is what I like, and this
right.
is what I don't. So just feeling safe enough to share my heart
yeah.
was something that was really valuable for me.
How have you seen that shift with the George Twins
oh,
then
yeah.
as the band?
It's so I literally had a conversation with my brother yesterday about this.
Interesting.
And so he just got back from like traveling to Paris and London and Haiti, these amazing trips.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so cool because we talked about what he talked about, what I talked about, confirmed, like, was, like, in sync with each other. So the George Twins for a while has been, like, Jordan's child.
Yep.
Like,
mm-hmm.
he was the driver. He was
right.
– and truthfully, he needed a different outlet. And going – like, the George Twins, for it to exist – and for it to be the best version of itself, it has to be Tyler and Jordan collaborating equally.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was easier for me not to like worry about it. Like
mm-hmm.
I could, he overfunctioned in it, and I was like, sure, you
yeah.
can take it. So
right.
I was lazy in it,
mm-hmm.
and he like so my work was trying to take more ownership in the George
gotcha.
Twins, and his is taking less.
Huh.
And so the more that I started finding myself, I could believe that I actually had something of value to offer the
mm-hmm.
George Twins.
Yeah.
And part of that is going, I've had a song that everyone said, like, you need to record this. Why haven't you recorded it yet?
Mm-hmm.
I just have been like, oh, it's, you know, it's whatever. Like,
yeah.
we can do this other song or whatever.
Right.
And now we're, I think we're going to record
it. So now you're pushing for it.
So now, so that's kind of the next step. And
yeah.
Where, how that, you know, how that shift is as shown in the Georgia Twins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are you becoming like more of a songwriter now then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when I'm healthy, like in a really healthy place, I write.
Oh, okay.
And it's been, so I write and create. Like, so I write and I create connections. So there are people that come to my mind that I just call and I'm like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And even from a business standpoint, I'm just on top of things and I'm just sharp.
Yeah.
When we, like, as that, the way that that shift has played out with Jordan and I, it's been really cool to see how, like, my individual self has, like, emerged from all of this work.
Yeah.
But it's also been scary because I'm like, what if people don't like my song?
Absolutely. Or, like,
now they can actually attack me. You know, if we're going back to that, like, shield analogy, it's like, okay, the shield's down. I'm, like, attacking. So I could totally be, you know, countered and then taken out.
But I feel like you're probably in a better place now to be attacked. Because if you are, like, it sounds like you at least know who you are. And at the end of the day, could come back with a comment and be like, well, I know that's not true. I know that's not who I am.
Totally.
So I'm just going to hear it, but throw it out immediately.
Yeah. I mean, that's 100%. Like, now that I feel like I'm starting to know myself, it's crazy. Like, I've been the biggest advocate of value you. And I'm realizing it, like, in the, like, a lot of people come to me for advice sometimes just because I'm pretty good at seeing things from all sides.
Yeah.
And again, like, now I'm, like, working on seeing things from my side. Right. And now it's, like, every part of my life has been enhanced because I know myself. And because I believe I have value. I watched the Mr. Rogers documentary recently.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, if you guys haven't seen it, you have to go watch it because it's amazing.
I still have to. Yeah.
And it's all about valuing you for who you are, like, not what you do. You're fine just the way you are. And it was so powerful for me in the season that I'm in right now. And he was saying how important it is for a child to hear that. And I go, wow, like, part of the work for me, and I guess to answer another one of your questions previously, one of those other moments for me was when I broke up with Jacqueline.
Interesting.
Because we broke up for a short season, and because I just was numb, and I didn't know, like, again,
was like... Yeah, talk about that, because
I
know
didn't
we talked
know
a lot
myself.
About that.
Like, and so I started going to counseling. And hardest season of my life, like 100%, just like, you know, like dark. And it being like, I wrote in my journal, depression question mark.
Really?
Like, I didn't know. Like,
well, and that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
You really felt nothing and you didn't know how to describe it. I remember you saying that.
And so it was just like, am I depressed? I don't know. Like, and it was just this really dark season for me. When I started going to counseling, and I actually went to the counselor that my mom and dad went to, and it was really cool because he's had a very similar story than I did.
Huh.
And just a feeling invisible. And that, so we connect in such a deep way. He recommended that I just, on the screensaver on my phone, and if any of you guys feel invisible, put a screenshot of your younger self on your phone, and say, I'm gonna love this kid today, because
that's powerful.
Because it was, because the person who was hurt was that little kid that felt invisible, and it was so hard for me to go back and go, yeah, like, this kid has value. And it's weird just, like, seeing the younger version of yourself, because it's there's like this weird, like, what, that's me, but it's not me.
You can experience like your pain all over again, honestly.
Mm-hmm. And going like, that kid is loved. Mm-hmm. And so I started diving into like what it looks like to love the younger version of me that felt invisible.
Hmm.
And as I started to like, here's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Fear had locked all of my emotions, and it felt like there's like a lockbox, and through it I couldn't find the key. Like all the other emotions that I felt, and like joy, sadness, like everything,
yeah,
felt like it was locked away,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't find the key. The key was fear.
Huh. Okay.
And so fear kept me from feeling all other emotions,
mm-hmm.
Because I was afraid to expose myself.
Yep.
And by going, I have value, and I can't, like, it. People are going to love me,
mm-hmm.
And valuing myself. Because step one is I gotta value me.
Absolutely. Yeah.
If I find value in me,
in you. Yeah.
I can share it,
mm-hmm.
But if I don't have value, I'm not going to share it.
Right.
And I think that's the way my personality plays out of going, some people believe I don't have value.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do these other things that fill this for me.
Yeah.
Or like, I'm going to share it and it's going to be really unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Like me sharing my lack of, like, because I don't believe in myself, I act out on these different ways.
Yep.
I don't act out. I just internalize.
Interesting. So you act in, kind of, mm-hmm. instead. Huh.
That's a good way to say it. Yeah. Yeah. So, I just internalized. And then, I mean, it would come out different ways, but mm-hmm. I just would internalize like crazy. And so once I believed I had value,
mm-hmm.
that was the moment. And then I was getting stuff done.
Fire. Oh, yeah.
It literally felt like it was like born again, basically.
Huh.
And because that's when I went back to Jacqueline and I was like, okay. Listen, like I found myself again.
Yeah.
And I want you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first, like, she's because I had, when we broke up, it was like, it wasn't a good breakup.
Mm-hmm.
And I was totally expecting her to like just be like, screw that guy. Like,
interesting.
Like, And she's not that way,
right?
But when we got back together, I was like, "This is me. I've realized that I love you,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not expecting anything in return."
That's incredible.
And so,
I think it's because you ended up finally loving yourself, so you don't have to expect anything in return.
Totally.
Huh. So. Looking back at yourself as a child is really what kind of like, I think it sounds like you almost forgave yourself for who you were back then and like throughout your entire years until
that's so
this
good.
Place.
Yeah.
That's so powerful.
It's giving yourself permission to like, be like, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're like the way that you grew up, and the things that you experienced, like, you're not defined by those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, I call them ego stories, but there are things that were spoken over me,
mm-hmm.
whether it be the bullying that happened when I was younger or, like, all these things that I just took,
mm-hmm.
and was like, that's me.
That's for the
but it's an ego story. It's not really just you.
Yeah.
It's just an ego story that people have told you. And so people start believing those ego stories,
mm-hmm.
and they're not the truth about you.
Yeah.
And that for me was like just kind of like looking at those ego stories and like, is that truth? No.
Mm-hmm. Just
throw it out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do I have value? Like, there was another thing like, you know, Jordan is the physical, like, I'm not the emotional risk taker.
Yep.
Was that like... Jordan's the emotional, I'm the physical.
Right.
It's not that. It's just that we exist on a spectrum of I tend to lean this way more than he did,
mm-hmm.
in that season.
Mm-hmm.
And now I feel like I'm just going, yeah, like I'm a human being,
mm-hmm.
and I exist on this different spectrum of love and fear.
Yep.
And sometimes I'm more in fear than I am in love.
Mm-hmm.
And my goal is trying to tip that spectrum more towards love every single day.
Mm.
And it starts with loving myself.
Yep.
So
are there ever times now, maybe more recently, where you at least hear those voices start coming back up? Like, what kind of triggers them? And how do you continue to overcome and win the battle, really?
What triggers them is probably sleeping in.
Interesting.
And I have this idea, and I actually wrote this on my phone. I have this idea. I don't know how it's going to come out, but I don't know if I'm going to write a book on it. But but the idea is sleep shame.
Hmm.
So I think for some of us, we have sleep shame. If we sleep in, or if we hit the snooze button one time or 20 times, it creates this shame that you can't do what you promised yourself earlier in the morning you could, or earlier that night you could do. And so every time, I've had years of this. So it's almost become just a pattern of like just waking up in shame.
Hmm.
Going, I can't even fulfill the small promise that I made last night. So how the heck can I?
Can't even wake up 30 minutes earlier.
Yeah.
Huh, that's really
cool.
So
sleep has been maybe one of the hardest struggles of my life.
Hmm.
I love sleep.
Yeah.
It's the greatest thing on the planet.
It really is.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's my inner sanctum where I can think about things because my brain is constantly going.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I take ridiculously long showers.
Huh.
And I stay in my car.
Yeah.
And
same.
And it's just like I can think and think and think and think and think.
Yep.
And just be like, I love it. I love just like, but yeah, like I said, I love sleep, but it's the thing that like I wake up in this, that's the trigger to, I don't have value because I can't even produce this much.
Yep.
Cause I think for most men and for women as well, it's, we value our value comes in our production.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing that actually more with women now too. Whereas when it growing up, it was like more like image based stuff.
Yep.
And now I'm like, what? You struggle with productivity too? What the heck? Like, and part of the, as a side note, part of the reason why my brother and I did music was seeing all of our friends that were girls go, I don't believe I have value. I'm like, what the heck? You're gorgeous.
Yeah, right.
And you believe that you're not attractive. Now now the ego story that they're telling is, I've got to be just like my dad.
Yep. I've got to be like
because
a man.
I've got to be better than my dad because I was hurt by my dad.
Yeah, that's
and,
so true.
And so then their value is insecurity. Mm. And so I at least in my my sphere of, I don't want to say influence, but like where I'm living at now, what I'm seeing is a lot of girls go from, girls also struggle with image.
Yeah.
But I'm seeing this like also like stability is the main thing. Mm. Like, got to be the strong, independent woman.
Yep.
And I'm like,
I want to provide for ourselves.
Yeah, I'm all for it too. Mm-hmm. And it's, there's also this like, but like what, like there's this, their ego story is I've got to be secure to be loved.
Mm.
And if I'm not secure, I can't be loved.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to like, I'm not beautiful, so I can't be loved.
Mm.
And I think that also exists on a spectrum of going back and forth between like security and beauty.
Yep.
And for guys, I think it leans more on the spectrum of security.
Absolutely.
But that was the main, that's the main kind of ego story that I was telling myself of like, I just can't wake up in the morning. I can't, that's what triggers it.
Yeah. So what are the maybe mental or spiritual practices that you find yourself doing on a regular basis that really kind of like help you overcome these voices?
Well,
aside from not sleeping in.
Yeah. I mean, because I would say like probably going to bed earlier was probably the greatest thing that that eliminates that. Mm-hmm. Because what it does is allow space for those other spiritual practices,
yeah.
like just making sure that like waking up in the morning and reading. With my work, we have a group me, but
okay.
there's a thing called Miracle Morning, and it's you wake up early and you go through this like analogy called savers, and it's basically just like silence, affirmations, so speaking life over yourself, visualization, so you visualize
mm-hmm.
where you're gonna be,
yep.
create your own future,
mm-hmm. Gratitude probably with that.
Gratitude,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Amazing book by Joe Dispenza called Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, which was also one of the huge books that helped me get through this like loving myself
I'm
thing.
I'm going to have to write that one down.
I can show you all the stuff on it.
Yeah.
It's amazing. That's the power of visualization, creating a new future and not living in your past.
Mm.
And then there's like exercise. And the last one, I don't remember.
You can totally Google it if you
yeah.
want to.
It's fine. It's fine. Just look up Miracle Morning or Savers. You'll find. It's
okay.
really good though. So those are kind of the things that I usually do is mm-hmm. is more just like exercise. Reading. That's what it was.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Which you do a lot of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my reading is either audiobooks, podcasts,
mm-hmm.
Actual reading. Or YouTube videos. I like.
Mm. I love that you consider all of that reading because
yeah.
it's all the same.
It's all retaining information.
Yeah.
It just depends on how, what medium in which you
mm-hmm.
are like most efficiently retaining.
Right.
I tend to retain well, like YouTube videos, pretty well.
Same.
And so if there's a visual component too,
mm-hmm.
I love it because I can. It keeps me focused.
Yeah.
I can't like if I'm driving, I can listen to a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot listen to a podcast if I'm like sitting down and just like I can't do that.
Yeah.
Like,
so you have to be doing something.
I also
like
have ADHD. So
was
that's another like side thing because
mm-hmm.
I was diagnosed like 2 years ago and then I realized like why I was always growing up asking why I thought different than everybody else.
Yeah.
And it was because I literally was thinking different than everyone else.
Is that an ADHD thing?
Well, what happens is I grew up going, why don't people get what I'm saying? Like, why don't people understand me?
Hmm.
That was the thing that I said
okay.
growing up.
Yeah.
And it was because the way that I, like, I would just be so, I couldn't focus. I couldn't do it.
Interesting.
And my brother wasn't that way. He doesn't have ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the people I saw are, like, very, like, they can go from one thing to the next thing to the next thing
mm-hmm.
to the next thing. The one thing that I felt like, because I started taking medicine for ADHD, and it was like wearing glasses for the first time.
Huh.
It was like, this is everybody else. Like, you can actually transition from one thing to the next thing without losing your mind. Like, because
huh.
for
yeah.
me, it was
More
it was just the
focus.
Space between transition that was
okay.
so hard.
Yeah.
So I would do one task. And then it would take me 20, 30 minutes to remember and figure out what I was going to do. Like, I walk into one room and forget what I was doing in the other room
mm-hmm.
and go, crap, what was I doing?
Because you have such an intense focus on the thing you're doing.
So, like, why I forgot the R on,
yeah.
on the savers.
Huh.
Because it's like, oh, crap, what is it? Like, and so, yeah, like, I'm not like, I kind of went on this like, I don't need medication.
Right.
I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, it slowly got worse.
Mm.
And then I was like, I don't want to be reliant on this, but I want to use this as a tool
yeah.
to be the best version of myself.
Mm.
So, like, if I need to get a lot done in that day, I'll take medicine.
Okay.
But
yeah.
I usually am not because I like...
natural.
Yeah, I guess. And again, it's like Jacqueline can tell the most when I'm on my medicine or
yeah.
I'm not on my medicine.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes when I value myself, I just come off like a little bit rude and it's,
huh.
and it's good for me.
Yeah.
Like, it's like,
you have boundaries and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. It's literally putting boundaries.
Yeah.
Cause.
And that's fine.
Mm.
We're supposed to do that.
Which is, for me has been hard.
Same.
Like that's the,
mm-hmm.
that's the struggle, you know, like.
Cause you don't want to be,
yeah.
you never want to be seen as selfish, but you have to be sometimes.
Yes.
Because you can't, you can never give of yourself if you don't have 100% stuff to give. So, mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, this is so cliche, but this, yeah. the phrase that always like just runs in my mind when I think about this yeah. is that whole thing on the airplane where like put your oxygen mask on before totally. You put on your child's. Cause it's like, well, you can't help them if you're not breathing. Same in any 100%. Situation. Yeah.
Like the, yeah, I struggle with boundaries is the hardest thing, but even having the space to put up boundaries, space and value.
Yeah. Like
I have to value myself and have enough space to really think about why I'm setting the boundary.
Okay.
Those are like the two components, because if I'm rushed, then I'm just going to defer my preference.
Yeah.
If I don't believe I have value, then people are just going to run over me.
Mm-hmm. So, absolutely.
Boundaries have always been hard. Have been hard. Mm-hmm. I like speaking in a future, creating a future.
I love
versus
that.
Versus a,
yep.
like, some of my friends, and they kind of get annoyed when I do this sometimes, but they'll be like, yeah, I can't, like, you know, I could never do that. I'd be like, yet.
Yeah, so it's true.
Because here's the thing, we're all in the process of growing, and there's nothing we can't do,
mm-hmm.
but it's just believing that you have the value
yep.
of going like, man, like, I could never find a relationship yet.
Right.
And it because
right now, but in
the
future.
More that you continue to solidify those ego stories or those mm-hmm. things, lies you tell yourself,
become true.
That's what you're going to live into.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you actually start speaking in a way that gives yourself hope and value, mm-hmm. Then you actually start to believe it.
Yeah.
So.
So it sounds like you're really in a much better place now.
Way better place.
Yeah.
Still like continue like struggling with the sleep shame thing mm-hmm. and working on creating better habits. Like that mm-hmm. is the new season. Like the new season I'm in is just like building habits that are going to serve me in the future.
Yeah.
I don't think any, another thing was that was really helpful in creating that new self for me
okay.
was becoming an entrepreneur, like working in finance.
Yep.
Because my income is direct correlation with my own personal development.
Yep, absolutely.
And so I just was broke and broken. Mm-hmm. And that was the thing that that propelled me into that season with breaking up with Jacqueline and all those different things. So it was a tough season, but God so used it in an amazing way.
It is continuing to use it. Yeah. Mm. So who would you say Tyler George is right now?
Right now. Tyler George is a guy who is human and he's figuring it out.
Love that.
And refining his identity. I would say in really the identity that God's placed within mm-hmm. me. Because that's ultimately, I had to come to a place of, do I have worth regardless of what anyone says? The only way I can get to that place is if I believe a higher power has implanted that value inside of me.
Absolutely.
And so I find that value through the character of Jesus. And so people have used other avenues to find value, but that for me is the one that I land on and go, this is why I have value.
Mm.
And if it weren't for that, I wouldn't have, like, all of the other stuff would just be fabricated, like value.
Yeah.
Or absolutely. Just find it in my production or how many podcasts I'm doing.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Okay. So, two final questions.
Yeah.
The one is just like, what has been like maybe a Bible verse or an inspirational quote, a book, someone's life story that has just kind of defined everything about your biggest journey, which is finding your worth and your identity? Like, what has resonated with you the most, I'd say?
Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself by Joe Dispenza.
Okay.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. If you guys have not, check out this book. There's an audio version of it too. It's a lot to go through. Like it's tough to get through at some points. Or if you just look up Joe Dispenza, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself on YouTube, he has some lectures that are phenomenal.
Oh, okay.
So if you just look up on YouTube, Joe Dispenza, like you'll be able to find lectures that give a good overview for what the book is.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you really are compelled by that, go get the book.
Yeah.
Because it's basically
a bite-sized piece of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And so that would be, I would say, like a practical thing that the listeners could go do.
Yeah.
And then if you're in a stuck place, if you feel stuck, if you feel broken, get help. Like, go see counseling. Like, do whatever you can. Like, save the money that you would spend on Starbucks and go to a counselor. There's a place called the Refuge Center here that do like income based stuff, where it's wherever your income is, they'll like match you. There's different places that have income, but like wherever you are, get help and speak out about it, because the more that you internalize, the more you will go deeper into that shame.
Shame is power in silence. Can't say that enough.
So I would just say, talk to someone. Don't internalize. Professional help is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's different. Like, some people are like, yeah, I'll just talk with my friend Susie. Or like, like, your friend Susie's not going to be enough to guide you through
some
really
deep... And she has an emotional connection to you, which the professional help does not. Yeah.
Yeah, and so, and it's not that your friend Susie can't help.
Right.
But it's about valuing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of those things of going, for me, the step was counseling and finding professional help.
Mm-hmm.
Because there just comes a point where you can't do it on your own. And there's a breaking point.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say there's some amazing books, but a lot of the times for me, filling my head with knowledge is not the way to find my own value. And so a lot, if anybody out there is like me, you're just going to try and find another formula, find another thing that you can do to get better. You need a relationship, and you need it to build something. For me, it starts with the higher power. So for me, it's Jesus. That's where it lands. I had to go back to that.
Mm.
But the way I could find that was through the avenue of counseling.
Mm.
So that would be what I would say is the best, most practical.
Yeah.
If you feel stuck, if you are hurting right now, get help and don't internalize it.
Mm.
Trust me.
Yep.
From the guy that's held the ball underneath the water for a long time, it will explode.
Yeah.
And so it's scary, but it's so good once you go.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So the last question is just, where can people find you on social media?
Yeah. Tyler Graham George is, I actually changed my Instagram name.
You did?
Yeah, from Tyler George 81 to Tyler Graham George, just as an identity
thing
too.
Rebrand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so if you just check out Tyler Graham George on Instagram, the band is called the George Twins.
Mm-hmm.
So you just look on YouTube or Spotify. Or any of the music platforms, Apple Music, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, if any of you guys have struggled or questions for me, feel free to DM me or, shoot me a DM or anything on Twitter too. I think Twitter is different. Twitter is, I think it's TylerGeorge81 on Twitter. But that's where you can find me. And I love having these kind of conversations and being able to direct people in the right avenues. Mm-hmm. So if anybody wants to do that, you can.
Yeah.
That's me.
Thank you. Yeah. No, thank you, Tyler. Like, this has been incredible because, like, I just met you, and to know already your life story has been really cool. And I think I can relate a lot to not wanting to be seen for the longest time. Mm. And also just like, but also I wanted to help people so much, but I can't really help people that much if I'm not seen myself.
Mm.
And so I think it's just been incredible to hear you talk about that. And especially as someone who is like very theologically sound, and I think you just have so much to offer. But you know, you research and...
I research a lot. Yeah. Yeah, I do.
And I don't, so... I don't know why, but I hate it.
Yeah. I love it. I like... It's... Man. People think... I nerd out, man. It's...
I don't.
Yeah. It's so funny.
Yeah. But no, seriously, thank you so much for sharing.
Thanks for having me. Absolutely. I love this. And I'm starting a podcast soon.
Yes.
And part of it is...
freaking wait.
Part of this conversation is going... Yes, I just love learning how the process works, and can't wait to continue to share more. Mm-hmm. You should have somebody interview you.
I will at some point.
Yeah,
tell my own story
because that's gonna be powerful.
I know,
because I think it's gonna be really cool. Because if your journey has been anything like mine, it's gonna be interesting when you're in the hot seat.
It is. Yeah. Well, it's interesting too because like. I've told my core group of friends my entire life story, but like, it's one of those things that I actually can share with anybody. I don't think I'm ready to share on a public platform, but this thing is absolutely building me up to that place. So
What a better way to like,
right?
Learn how to share yourself to the world.
So true.
Than like sitting with people, watching them do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you so much again. We love having you on. Thank you all so much for listening to the What's Your Life Journey podcast today with Tyler George.
Hey.
If you want more content like this, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel, which the link for that will be in the description. And
make sure you check out Kira's Patreon page, which is patreon.com/whatisyourlifejourney.
It's actually What's Your Life Journey, not What Is.
Sorry, because grammar is hard sometimes, but guess what? She has an amazing Patreon family. If you want to see more exclusive content, make sure you check out the page.
Thank you. We appreciate you. See ya.
See ya.